Did you ever feel shame, unlovable, and afraid in your relationship? I sure did. So did our guest today, now a successful intuitive business leader. It would take her decades before she fully understood how the toxic waves of narcissism and abuse impacted her. Lucy realized that she not only lost her confidence, but her intuition. She created abundance in business, life, and in her heart, and she will for you too. Stay on. Hi, I'm Rosie Aiello, and welcome to the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast. We talk about moving forward after experiencing narcissistic, controlling, demeaning, and abusive relationships. If you've been in one of those, like me, you know what I'm talking about. You're not alone. You've been through some painful stuff. Shame, blame, that inner bully inside you. My mission is to lift and inspire you. Give you the ways you can reclaim your voice and value, your confidence, and the courage to be the new empowered you. Today, we meet Lucy McMonagle. She felt most vulnerable when she thought she was simply crazy when her husband spun a web around her logic. She thought she was broken. Have you? Stay on to hear her amazing journey on how she pieced herself together, regained her intuition, trust in herself and in others. We're going to talk with Lucy in a moment. And first, I want to share with you about the 11 pillars that take you from vulnerable to valuable. Listen to episode 1 or 2 to hear the full list of the 11 pillars of freedom fulfillment. Today, I'm going to take you to number 6 of those 11 pillars, overcoming shame and guilt. You'll hear in this episode how our guest, through her husband's mind twisting, also known as gaslighting, she lost her confidence and became filled with shame. I'll talk about the difference between shame and guilt, and I'll share 3 key tips to overcome shame so you can become empowered, confidently, and fully expressed. So first, ask yourself, are you showing up fully in every area of your life? Are you speaking up and expressing your thoughts and opinions? Are you having the success you desire? Do you have the confidence you want to lead your life? Do you have the relationship you desire? If you answer no to any of these questions, unrecognized or hidden shame can be holding you back. Shame often lies in the background, unconsciously directing your behavior. Shame can hide behind guilt, anger, depression. That shame is a little tricky. So I want to just take a moment to share the difference between shame and guilt, so you can kind of perspective on this, because a lot of people confuse it. So with shame, you might say, I should have seen the abuse. I should have gotten out earlier, or I should be making more money in my business. You are judging yourself and feeling embarrassed about your situation. With guilt, the experience and what you say might be different. I stole from the grocery store. Did you ever do that? I think I did when I was little. I think I stole some bubble gum. Anyway, that's getting off topic here. I said a hurtful remark to my friend. All right, so I feel bad. But if I do that, I'm probably going to want to talk to somebody. So with shame, you think you are bad or stupid or something's wrong with you. You think you are. With guilt, this is really important. Listen to these verbs. With guilt, you believe you did something bad or wrong. So with shame, you're attributing it to who you are. With guilt, you recognize it's something outside of you that you did. So with shame, you hide your story because you're fearful of judgments. You think you're unworthy or incompetent or you're a bad person. With guilt, you'll feel more the need to make things right. You'll feel remorse. You'll feel bad you said or did that thing. So, it might be easy to mix up shame and guilt, but they're completely different. And you have to be careful as well. that you may take on guilt that's not yours. Somebody that said or did something that you, with your values, know or believe that that's not a correct way to behave, and they have may have said something really bad to somebody, and you're feeling, oh my God, that's just horrible. And that goes on when we have an outrage of somebody else's behavior, which you can just get lots of examples from it in the media. But that kind of guilt can also morph into shame as you keep hiding out what's happening to you. Now, talk about hiding out. Let me tell you, I hid in shame for over 20 years. I mean, I didn't know I was in an abusive relationship. I was embarrassed to share it with anybody. I was embarrassed to share that I didn't like how he was treating me. And I just thought, oh, I'll just sound like I'm complaining. So I just kept my embarrassment, my shame to myself because I didn't think anybody would understand. So holding on to that shame really nearly killed myself, as I thought so little of myself and I felt so alone. Shame prevented me from reaching out for help. It was horrible, absolutely horrible. So in this case, you need to allow yourself to be vulnerable, to share your shame, to share what you think is shameful. You'll discover that it's not shame. You feel the shame, but it's not shameful. If you keep it inside, that's what's going to destroy you because you think no one will understand. And that's what they want. They want you to feel badly so you don't share it if they don't already tell you that. Okay. So share the shame so you can get the right guidance and be on the path to moving to valuable. Yeah, otherwise, shame will suck you down like it did me. So on your path to recovery, on your path to recover, to becoming fully expressed, on your path to your freedom fulfillment, on your path to embodying this life and creating a joyful life and finding the kind love in your life, this is a very critical one to overcome. And I'm going to share with you three keys you can do to shift from shame. Because when you hold on to shame, your life stays small. It takes a lot of energy to keep hiding and making excuses for the relationship or even when you are out. Even when you have gotten out, you're making excuses for whatever. You're still holding on to shame. It's a lot to bear thinking you're alone, that no one will understand you, and that you have to figure it out alone. Listen, your life is too important to let shame hold you down. It's time to be vulnerable and reach out for support. This is the way you move forward to create the life you desire. Now, here are the three keys. So number one, journal what shame you've been holding on to. Tap into your source of anger, sadness, even depression. Like, why am I so angry? You'll feel anger inside. You'll feel frustration, you may feel sadness, and like I said, even depression. So that may be some good keys to tap into to get your thoughts going on what am I ashamed of. You can just ask yourself, what I don't want anybody else to know. What am I hiding? Number two, you're going to have a lot of negative beliefs about yourself. So reframe those negative beliefs to something more supportive or a more useful belief. You know, instead of saying, you know, I should have known better. I think I've heard this from every single woman. I should have known better. I should have gotten out. All these shoulds, right? And that is so damaging when you judge yourself like that. Easy to say, but very, very damaging. Instead, say something like, I did the best I could. I did the best I could with the knowledge and skills I had at the time. And this is the truth. Okay, good. Practice these new beliefs. And it will help you rebuild your voice, your confidence, and value. These are key steps to doing that. So the third one is just remind yourself that you are smart and capable, and just show yourself some kindness and compassion as you move forward and create your life. Recognize it takes time, patience, and guidance. Take a step. So how can you reframe, move beyond shame, and be kind to yourself today? If you want to know where you are on this path, take the Freedom Fulfillment Quiz, my gift to you. In 4 short minutes, you'll discover where you are and where you want to be. Go to www.freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. That's freedomfulfillmentquiz.com. You can find this link and all other links mentioned in the show notes. Lucy will be here in a moment. And first, thank you for downloading the Vulnerable to Valuable podcast produced by the Love is Kind Network. We're just starting out. Please subscribe. Every 5-star review on iTunes and every share will help our mission to reach and impact 100 million women worldwide who have been affected by narcissistic relationships and domestic abuse. Our goal is to create kinder intimate relationships, kinder families, kinder communities, and a kinder world. Will you help us achieve that goal? Now to the mystical Lucy McMonagle, who reconnected with her intuition to help herself and now her clients to reach their path of prosperity, joy, and success. Let's go from vulnerable to valuable with Lucy. Welcome to the Love is Kind Network's podcast, Vulnerable to Valuable. And we are so thrilled to welcome Lucy McMonagle. And she and I have known each other for quite a while, but I want to let you know about her. She is a renowned intuitive business leader, mystic, and an international best-selling author. She has risen from the flames of abusive relationships to being one of the leading authorities on trusting your intuition, healing, and accessing your inner greatness. She focuses on empowering women through mindset training and to be financially free so that she will have more options in life and not be a prisoner in someone else's life. So please join me in welcoming Lucy. So pleased that you are with me today.
Wow, Rosie, I am so grateful that you have me here on your show so that I can be of service to you and to your audience.
Thank you. You are going to be thrilled when you hear what Lucy has to share. She's quite an amazing woman. But tell us briefly where you are now, and then we're going to go into some of the elements before you got to where you are now.
So currently I'm living in my dream home and I absolutely love it. It's in the location in Arizona that I've always wanted to be since the 90s. And I'm living life. I'm helping people and I'm able to do my sole purpose and still be able to move forward and, you know, more importantly, be financially stable.
Oh, that's beautiful. And we're so glad that you're able to do that work. So tell us, you know, how you mentioned obviously in the bio that I read that you were in an abusive relationship. And when did you realize that you were in an abusive relationship? For me, it took quite a long time before I found out.
I had ignored the signs and the symptoms because it wasn't physically abusive. It was emotionally and mentally abusive, along with a lot of neglect. And so I try to pass it off to this or that or rationalize it. But really, it took me over 20 years, which was well after the relationship ended, that I realized that it was so toxic.
You know, it's interesting talking to other women is that, you know, we say we ignored the signs, but did you really even know what the signs were? I think for me, I didn't know what the signs were.
Some of them that were really, really obvious.
Like what?
Well, here I got you this, which, you know, something tiny so that, you know, you can look prettier. And so Like, it was like half back-ended remarks. I mean, I kind of knew those were like negative things, but I didn't know it was like, oh, I didn't realize that that was abuse and neglect and emotional badgering. And it's not one particular thing. That's the hard part, is it's not always one thing. And then, so it's difficult to know exactly when I knew it was abuse, because sometimes I'm like, I don't know, is that toxic? Is that negative? And then, you know, the next second they're nice and you're like, oh, okay, maybe I was just imagining things.
Yes. You know, and I like this. That's the pattern, right? And we're in a relationship, we're not expecting it. So, and we're not on alert for it. So creating that, you're describing the pattern that happens. And the part of the pattern is us making excuses for it. It's like, oh,
yes,
kind of like that, and sometimes like that. So all of that, that you, between you and I, have just described now is the pattern of abuse that a lot of women may not be aware of. And you weren't aware of it, and I wasn't aware. So I'm sure there are others who are going, are now going to be thinking, oh, either I'm in it or I was in it, and maybe that's why I'm still not feeling quite comfortable. And at what points did you feel like especially vulnerable to the relationship, or during the relationship? What made you feel vulnerable, or what did it look like for you?
So for me, when I would feel like, you know, I just need somebody to support me. I need help. And then, you know, trying to rely on your partner, and then all of a sudden they're like, I'm too busy, or they fall asleep on you when you're trying to have a difficult conversation, or they tell you you're too sensitive, or you're taking things too personal, or it's, that's not what I said.
Right.
So the times I felt the most vulnerable was when I felt that I was being crazy, literally. Like I was the problem. I was the one that was, you know, not seeing things clearly. And that was really, that made me feel more vulnerable, because then I was questioning my own intuition. I was questioning my own reality, and I was questioning my own sanity.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think because then you don't know what to trust.
Remember, correct.
This leads to lack of trust, trust in yourself, and then trust in others.
Yes, true. So true.
And that's one of the things, you know, that's hard for women is to start learning to trust themselves. So how did you develop trust in yourself again?
So one of the very first things I started doing was to create a self-love ritual and to start looking at how can I take care of me? Because there's nobody else that's going to take care of me. And so I had to develop some type of routine or some type of thing. So self-love rituals was really important to me, because I needed something that was stable that I could repeat. I started working on affirmations too.
Yeah, and that's part of, you know, what I call like self-kindness, self-compassion. It's doing it to yourself first, right?
Yes.
Because we're in a situation where we, even if we're out of it, we still need to develop that tool of self-kindness, self-compassion, self-love, and to now shift from being vulnerable to creating that you're valuable.
Yes.
You're valuable as you are, and there's nothing wrong with you.
Right.
One of the things that I've noticed is that a lot of women who've been in these relationships didn't have healthy boundaries. So what were some of your unhealthy boundaries? And then have you developed, I'm going to imagine, some now healthy boundaries in relationships? And we notice that sometimes these cross over from just, it's not just in intimate relationships.
No, yeah. No, it's in all relationships.
Right.
So even with your female friends.
Yeah, friends, coaches,
family members,
quote unquote higher places that, you know, just by their position, you know, you think they command the respect, but we have the boundaries. So, you know, so what were some of the unhealthy boundaries that you think you had, and now which ones have you developed?
So some of the unhealthy boundaries I had was I would use avoidance to just not deal with the situation. Mm. So, you know, like when he'd start coming at me, I would just like not even deal with it, which is a really unhealthy boundary because that just gives them more permission to become more and more aggressive.
Right.
And then it makes me become more and more sheltered. So I shrink more and more. So as I'm shrinking more, I'm not saying, you know, that's not good. I never spoke up when I needed to. That was another boundary that I didn't have, was I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Yes.
I didn't want to get him angry. I didn't want to have to deal with the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't speak up. I lost my voice and, you know, I kept shrinking down smaller and smaller. So in other areas of my life, I had to compensate for the lack of healthiness I had in one area. But in the truth, that didn't help either because I ended up having serious health issues, which of course I ignored because I was too busy shrinking and not paying attention to anything else and using avoidance.
Well, I love that you shared this. I'm not happy that you had health issues, but I think this is a good sign for women to listen to. Again,
yes.
They have a tendency, there's a tendency to split it. Oh, I'm sick, but not in relationship to their own personal relationships that they're having. It's two separate things. And again, I think I'm kind of like, to me, I feel like one of my superpowers is seeing patterns. Mm-hmm. And the pattern, you know, that I've spoken to women all over the world is like, there has not been one woman who hasn't had some major health issue. Especially the longer the relationship, the bigger the health issue.
Yes.
But they'll just say, oh no, they don't see the connection.
There's a direct correlation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So now what are some of the healthy boundaries that you have?
So some of the healthy boundaries that I have is I'm very, very clear on what I will accept for behavior and what I will not accept for behavior. Sometimes individuals, if they catch me off guard and they hop on me, I don't like turn it into like this
right
kind of relationship. I back down, but then I will definitely point it out. It's like, that really hurt my feelings. And, you know, you don't have permission to do that. So I don't let people like attack me.
Mm-hmm.
I like energetically, it's really important that I set the boundaries so that I don't feel like people are venturing through. And so, you know, like inside, I have this very strong core that I project outward. And when I only allow certain things, then people don't treat me in a worse way. So what an example is, nobody can treat me any worse than I treat myself. And that energetic boundary, mm-hmm. even though it sounds kind of like, well, I treat myself pretty good. Well, I had an awful lot of things that I was doing on the conscious level, but on the subconscious level, I was beating myself up.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to really find out what trickery and deceit was going on in the background that I was ignoring inside of me. And then once I was able to uncover that, mm-hmm. that's when I was able to start really noticing and recognizing the patterns that I had.
That's good that you've obviously made this shift. I found that many women have a hard time asking for what they want, and they have an even harder time knowing what to ask for. That's why I created a guidebook, How to Confidently Ask for What You Want, and it's yours free. Simply go to www.theloveiskindnetwork.com/gift. Start your collection of gifts, as I will be offering different ones throughout this podcast. Get your copy now. It's been a major life changer for many of my clients who've learned to ask for what's important to them, including asking for the sale. And we're back with Lucy McMonagle, business intuitive leader. And I think as we healed and learned, we've created these really good, healthy boundaries and know what to accept and what not to accept. And one of the things too is that while the avoidance could be viewed as not having boundaries, it probably also was a survival skill.
Yes.
Because you knew that if you engaged, it was going to make things worse.
Yes.
Right? So avoidance was a survival skill that you just created sort of automatically. Didn't mm-hmm. even know it was a survival skill. And I want, you know, the listeners to understand that not everything is wrong that you're doing. It depends where you are in the stage. But if you're out and mm-hmm. trying to create a life, we need to work on healthy boundaries, healthy skills.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about managing or, you know, about the self-care that you rituals that you maybe have now. What did you do before when you were maybe in the relationship? Did you have self-care? And then how did you realize that was important to you now?
So what I did before was bare minimal. You know, I just, whatever I needed to cook for dinner was not what I wanted. And a lot of that was not healthy food. So one of the first things is I started eating healthier foods, eating more fruits, more vegetables. I started removing soy out of my life because that caused some of my health issues. And then I also started looking at having more downtime, like taking me time mm-hmm. and meditating and journaling. That's been really the number one thing has been journaling.
Journaling. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that is such a great method to help women, anybody, but to, you know, women are going to be doing journaling more than men, I think, but to get those thoughts out and to realize you're not crazy and that we all have thoughts and feelings and they're all okay.
Correct.
But at the same time, we need to challenge ones that are not serving us anymore.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
And by writing them down, you say, oh, is that really to ask yourself, is that really the thought that I want to have? Is that the feeling? Do I really want to feel bad all the time? Of course we're going to feel bad because we're human. We can't be happy all the time. I think it's a little false precept to think, oh, we're going to be in a life of joy 24/7, but to really challenge our values to see if this is really working for us.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you too, because you've done such beautiful work. How did you create your own freedom?
So one of the very first things on how I created freedom was I worked on my poverty mindset mm-hmm. intensely. I grew up with, if you didn't have bad luck, you'd have no luck at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Bad luck or no luck.
Or we can't afford that. Or you mm-hmm. don't have the money for that. Or you know, my favorite one is, well, you better make a lot of money if you want that. So I'm like, oh yeah, I will. So the way that I found for freedom was to economically empower my mindset first, mm-hmm. because I can only receive as much money as my mind allows me to receive. Mm-hmm. And so from there, I started working on that. I started looking for opportunities and really learning how to receive gifts from other people without having this paranoia that there's a string attached.
Yes.
That was one of the hardest things for me is like, so you're going to give me something. What do I have to give you in return? You know, like that was always, and sometimes it'll pop up in my head. It's like, and then I'll snip it and I'll like, a gift is a gift and there's no strings attached. So I'll imagine, like if somebody gives me something, I'll imagine I have this beautiful golden pair of scissors from an archangel and they cut off the little cord that the other person may or may not have, whether it's mm-hmm. my imagination. And then it's like, oh, okay, so then I can utilize this for myself. So that's one of the most important things I did was prosperity mindset mm-hmm. and learning how to receive and look for the opportunities that I had.
Well, those are great. And I think women, and just as a general concept, have challenges receiving. We're the proverbial, you know, givers. We're always giving, putting ourselves last, you know, from self-care, right? It starts from self-care. So if we can't learn to receive, it's going to be really hard to get your freedom.
Yes, that's true. That's so true.
You know, and then the flip side is that is asking for what you want.
Yes. You do have to ask for what you want.
Right. And, you know, can you articulate what you want? I'm like, okay, I can articulate what I want, but I can't receive it. Right? It has this little flip on what you can do and what you can't do. Mm-hmm. So on one more topic I want to just ask you about is the whole process of forgiveness and self-forgiveness. Did you go through a journey on that? And can you share with our listeners what it was like for you?
Absolutely. I've gone on the journey many, many times. It doesn't seem to be a one and done kind of thing. I like one and dones, but I started when I was reading about the Ho'oponopono, which is the forgiveness thing. And it was a part of the one of the programs I was going through for wealth consciousness. I was like, I have
this is
to.
Hawaiian.
Yeah, it's, they say the Hawaiian, it's I love you, I forgive you, please forgive me, thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a whole bunch of different varieties of that. There's a whole bunch of different places that it says it came from. I mean, Hawaii is pretty much where it says, but I mean, different people have different credits. So I'm not going to credit where it came from or who gave it to me, because I decided to alternate it and come up with my own sayings.
So, and that's what we do.
So I really had to work on, yes. I had to really look at how much resentment I had. And the one most important thing is, how do I forgive myself for allowing this to be done to me? That was, bar none, the hardest thing on forgiveness on my journey is having to forgive me and the part that I took into it. And then actually take up responsibility for, you know, I could have left the relationship. That is true. But I didn't have the strength to do that. And I didn't have the ability financially to do that.
Right.
So, you know, how do I forgive myself? And then from there, it's, you just have to keep digging. And you can just start with, I am willing to forgive. Mm-hmm. Not that you have to forgive. It does not absolve anybody for any of the cruelty that they've done to you. But it absolves the cord between you and them that's holding you hostage, because they've probably already long forgot what they ever did to you if you've moved on and then you're not with them anymore. So it's, you know, it's holding you hostage, not them.
It's such a powerful journey to go through. And I think all of these things are not, at least in my opinion, is not a one done deal, right?
No.
Self-care is constant. The self-compassion is constant. Maintaining your boundaries, you know, reevaluating your values and maintaining your boundaries. These are nonstop. And if we don't keep looking and evaluating them, it's easy to just go back and let some relationship or some circumstance just take us over. And it's like, oh, mm-hmm. And then we wake up maybe a little bit. We wake up faster. And I just think it's so important to have the skills to do it. So when it happens, you know what to do. And I think part of, for me, is with the self, with the forgiveness, was the blending of the self being kind to myself and self-compassion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it's so hard to get into, you know, we were blamed and then we go into self-blaming.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, to create that shift that mm-hmm. obviously anybody who could get out and was able to get out would get out.
Correct.
But as we all know, it's never that easy.
No, the mental bondage that you're on when you're in relationships like that is intense. And it might not be chains, it might not be a gun, but the mental bondage that we put ourselves through or other people put us in is far more stronger than anything else.
Yeah. And I appreciate the way you worded that. So women and people hearing this understand, because sometimes people who have good intentions,
yes,
but don't understand, it's like, you know, you'll get, why didn't you leave sooner? Or why don't you just get mm-hmm. out? And you kind of, you're asking yourselves the same questions. Why can't I? And of course we know it's not as simple as that. There's webs that are very intricate and very tight.
Mm-hmm.
That are unseen that hold us in.
Exactly.
However,
lots of webs.
You know, we do get out and we create a beautiful life. You have your dream home.
Mm-hmm.
You are financially successful. You have friends. You have great skills now. So you're creating a beautiful life.
Yes.
And that's what it's all about, that we get to create something and we can create it. And this is, again, something that continues. It's not, oh, it's done and over.
Correct.
It's a continuous creation of having a beautiful life. So I'd like to ask you, what does love is kind mean to you?
So for me, love is kind. I mean, it means so many different things. But the main thing is it means that divine love flows through me and is kind to me and all that I see. And when I can see with love that is kind, rather than put these other connotations on what love is, because sometimes using just that word can be so painful.
Yes.
Because we've equated the word love with pain, suffering, separation, abuse. And so re-looking at kindness, what is kindness? What is gentleness? And then equating that with true love, real love. Because real love always wants to protect you, always wants to take care of you, is always there for you, and stands by your side. And when you can do that for yourself, you're doing love is kind for yourself.
Beautiful. That's so beautiful. I'm going to get the transcript and I'm going to print it out and put it on my wall.
Thank you.
I loved the way you shared it. It was really, really wonderful. I know our listeners are going to hear it and love it too. This has been a fantastic time with you, Lucy. Is there any final words, anything that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yes, I would like to tell you that, you know, you've done everything you could, the best that you could with the skills, the mindset, and the tools that you had at that time. And if you're listening to this, you are on the journey for the greatest love affair that you've ever had. And that's a love affair for you to start falling back in love with yourself and with love. And Rosie, I want to thank you so much. You are bringing light into the darkest spaces that women are afraid to look at. And you are just an incredible gem that is bringing this light to the world so that we can, as a woman, step into our own true place in this world.
Well, thank you, Lucy. It's been so wonderful having you. Do you have anything else that you want to offer or share to our listeners?
Well, the one thing that I do have is I created a meditation that the universe is for you. And this is really to start trusting that the universe is for you rather than against you. Because when I was coming out of my abusive relationships, I was quite certain the world was against me and everything else was too. And so I've created this meditation that is short, you know, within 15 minutes. And you can have, the link is below.
It'll be in the show notes. So
yes, it'll be in the show notes.
You look up this episode and we'll have it there for you. Well, thank you once again for your time, for the light that you bring into the world, for everything that you're doing to help women empower themselves to create a better life. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Head on over to vulnerabletovaluable.com and subscribe to the show. When you subscribe, you'll instantly get a special ebook, Ask Confidently for What You Want. And when you subscribe to the show and post a review to iTunes, you'll be entered into a drawing to win a free consult with me. Plus, your subscribing will help our mission to inspire 100 million women worldwide to heal and move forward from their abusive relationships. That's vulnerabletovaluable.com, the podcast that guides you to reclaim your voice, value, confidence, and courage.